Set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
All troops will debark for ground assault. Prepare to target the main jet.
Echo Station 3TA. On an Imperial Walker.
Attack pattern Delta. Go now. Watch that crossfire, boys. Right now, I feel like I take on the whole Empire myself.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the bay.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Echo Base. We have a full show for you tonight, actually. We have a lot of news to discuss here, and we also have a special guest who's going to be helping Tim out and me myself out with something we're working on for Celebration. So we are excited to have Marcus on with us today. Marcus, how are you?
Hey guys, I'm doing well. Thanks for the invite. I really appreciate it.
Now, we've talked to you at several celebrations over the past and been, kind of chatting here and there online. So it's good to have you finally on the show. You're not the first person we've had on the show, but you are definitely somebody we've been eager to have on here for a long time.
Thank you.
So welcome to Echo Base. Put on your jacket. It's a little cold here, but we'll be okay. Tim, how are you?
It was 35, I think. I'm not sure if I got you beat there, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you were definitely warmer than we were, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in the central New York portion of Hoth, and it was a little chilly here. I mean, the Tauntauns are still, running around well. They're not freezing or anything, but not too bad here. Not too bad here.
We did get above freezing here in the Connecticut portion of the base, but not much, not much. We're expecting snow tomorrow, I think. Tim, are you expecting the same thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, he sounds really excited about this. Tim, you have that awesome beast machine with the plow, though, so you are all set. Right.
Oh, I'm ready to go.
you can keep the garage plowed out so the gears can get out. We're good to go. Right. Okay, Marcus, let's get a little bit of background about you in general before we dive into our news.
Sure.
So you are a member of the 501st.
Yes.
And that's kind of how Tim and I both know you from celebrations and so forth. Why don't you give us a little bit of background about how you got involved with the 501st, how long you've been involved with them, that kind of stuff?
So I've known about the 501st for some time, probably not since its inception in 97, but definitely since Celebration 2 in 2002 when I saw them. I mean, I knew of them maybe through Star Wars Insider or even the Right or some other, sources. I was at that time, I lived in Germany and, I was born and raised there. I moved to the US in 2006. So, it was definitely, once I was here, it was definitely a lot more exposure, I would say to the 501st. But I think, I would say the early 2000s when I probably was aware of them, I always found it very interesting and very cool, I guess, to be able to dress up as really whatever you want, professionally. We'll come to that. But I didn't really get into it till I would say the middle of 2013 when I acquired a Stormtrooper kit. One of those that you have to build yourself and size it up, and I finally got that done with some, local help from the Mid-South Garrison, which is the, chapter, so to say, of Tennessee, where I live. I got that done at the end of May of 2014. And ever since, it's been a blast. I gotta say.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah. Now, do you have more than one approved costume?
Yeah. So I have a classic Stormtrooper based on the New Hope, stunt version. We have a difference between stunt and hero. Hero is what Han and Luke wore, and the stunt version is what the other ones wore. So I have that.
Average Stormtrooper, yeah.
Yeah, and then I also have a First Order Stormtrooper.
Oh, cool.
From Episode 7, yeah.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
Now, have you... Let me back up, I guess. Now, most of what happens at the 501st is you guys are fundraising. You go on troops to either children's hospitals or different events to raise awareness and stuff and raise money. What kind of cool things have you done as part of the 501st? What's been the most fulfilling for you?
Well, I mean, I guess the first time I donned the Stormtrooper costume in its completion, that was a pretty cool experience, I guess, because that's something I always wanted to do. It's my favorite costume. That's what I associate with when it comes to the 501st. I mean, you know, we have over 6,000 Stormtroopers in the Legion, which is which makes up a lot of the total costumes, probably a fourth, I would say.
Okay.
So that's something I always found really interesting, I guess, and intriguing. And so that was a good moment. And then the I guess my first troop was special, and just seeing everybody's reaction, I guess, because you know with a costume like that, they can't see your reaction, but I can see everybody else's reaction, and you know, maybe something, you know, that makes you emotional or makes you smile. You know, they won't know. Only you know. And then if you talk to your other friends afterwards, then you know, did you shed a tear too when you saw that? Or so it's really special. The
it's awesome.
The total immersion, I guess, when you're in that suit is pretty. It's a bit of a thrill, I guess, in a way.
Okay.
Because it's something I always wanted, and it was possible. And then to this day, whenever I put on either costume, it's the same feeling. You know, some troops are harder than others based on what you do, where you are. Mm-hmm. And then the very first like group photo, I guess, you can call it, at the Anaheim celebration in 2015. That was my first celebration as a member.
Okay.
Just being a part of, you know, 5+ people, all dressed up in their various costumes. That was pretty special. It was pretty hot, but it was pretty special.
Was it? Yeah. I mean, seeing that picture on the stairs of everybody there, just looks awesome. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And it's been growing. I mean, ever since Celebration 2 was the first official group picture, and it was just like, it was like 170. And then the last one in Orlando was over 900. So you can, ever since, you know, I joined at the end of May 2014, and there were just over 6,000 members, and now we have over 13,000 members. So just in less than 5 years, it grew even half. So that's
impressive.
Yeah, it is impressive. And you know, there's something for everybody, I guess, because we have just under 400 different costumes that you could potentially build.
400.
Yeah, just under. I counted the other day, and it was just 100. Wow. Divided into, you know, different detachments. Like the first, the Stormtroopers are in a detachment. This, you know, the Tusken Raiders are in a different one, and so they're all, everybody has their own special detachment, I guess.
Well, cool. Well, news. Tim and I are going to kind of pick your brain a lot more about that, because, you know, as I said before on the show, we are in the process of getting pieces of our kit to start building a Mud Trooper, and we're both very excited, and we're both a little apprehensive too, I think. I mean, there's a lot of work to do, and it's just a little hunting at first, but we are looking forward to that, and we'll definitely pick your brain more about the 501st and how, what to expect, and how to, you know, what your first steps in approval process and that kind of stuff goes on. So first, let's cover the news, though. So Tim, how about that trailer we've had for episode 9? I mean, there's been all kinds of news. We've had, you know, all kinds of stuff released about this. It's been great, right?
Yeah, it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. How about Lou? How about you, like, take us through it, like, in detail?
I don't know. I didn't pay attention to it that much, so we'll have to slide for a bit. No, I mean, you know, why don't we have a trailer yet, Tim? Where is this trailer? I mean, I expected something at Super Bowl. I really did.
We got a few days before the Super Bowl, and we didn't hear any announcement that going to be a trailer at the Super Bowl. I pretty much came to accept that we weren't going to see anything then. I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe it's going to happen at Celebration. I you know, and I'm okay with that. The interesting thing is, I mean, especially if you go on social media, like, there's folks that are just flipping out over this. We don't have a trailer. We don't have a title. What's going on? Hey, folks, the movie's not coming out until December 20th. Just hang on. It's February still.
We got some time, yeah.
You know, it's, I get the excitement, and excitement is cool, but we also, you know, and we talk about it here once in a while. You kind of get a segment of the fandom that, like, has this crazy entitlement. And, folks, they don't owe it to us. They do not owe this to us. You know, so just hang on and be patient and wait. And I know it's sometimes tough to be patient because we are excited about it. But it's coming. It's coming. Never fear.
I mean, I think if they release something for us at Celebration, I mean, I think they have to. If they don't do something at Celebration or before then, I think then people can start to really flip out a little bit more because, you know, you've had this big party that we're going to in Chicago, and that is your big coming out party for the year. If you don't have something by then, we're going to start to wonder what's going on. Is this really smoke and mirrors? Is nothing coming out to make a big change? But I mean, I'm sure we will. And like you said, Tim, I mean, I'm excited as anybody else. I'm willing to wait. I just want something. Give me a, you know, throw me a little tidbit here and there.
Yeah.
I think we're just a bit spoiled when it comes to the previous, you know, episodic films. Mm-hmm. Like episode 7, we had a trailer, I don't know, over a year. I don't even know when that was. It was Thanksgiving or of like 2013 or something. I don't recall, but it was really early.
Yeah.
Episode 8 at this time of, you know, 2 years ago, we already had a title and, it'll come. Like
it'll happen.
You know?
Yeah, it'll happen.
Yeah.
But totally. In the meantime, though, we do have some news about Celebration. They had a boatload of guests announced. I think
39 in total so far.
Really? I haven't seen the whole list then, I guess. But they announced a bunch of them last week on Instagram. I saw the video go up and all the people that are going to be there. Tim, why don't you take us through everybody that we got listed so far?
All right. So newly confirmed guests, kind of like what we said in the last episode, you know, they're releasing these in groups, and the closer we get to Celebration, the bigger the names get. And certainly we're seeing even more recognizable names and big names coming up with this announcement. So probably the biggest name in this announcement is Peter Mayhew, who, of course, we all know is playing Chewbacca through almost all the films. And so it's actually neat. We're going to have both of our Chewbacca actors at the Celebration. Hopefully they hang out together because that's just kind of a cool thing to see. And if you're wondering who they are, just look for the two tallest people in the entire convention center. And it's pretty much a guarantee that those will be your Chewies. And I'm also thrilled that, you know, Peter Mayhew, he's obviously getting older. He's had a lot of health issues. Really, really thrilled that he's going to make it to this Celebration. That's really exciting. Donald Faison, he's an actor and comedian. He does the voice for Hype Faison in Star Wars Resistance. He will be there. Hera Marshall, who we all know and very much love, who played Hera in Star Wars Rebels, will be there. It just has an exceptional personality. She's an absolute sweetheart.
Yeah, she is.
She's wonderful. I mean, she's great. She's great. Jason Isaacs, who is an actor who a lot of folks are familiar with, played the Grand Inquisitor in Star Wars Rebels. Myrna Velasco plays Tora Doza in Star Wars Resistance, who's a really cool character, and I think she does a lot with that character. And Tora is definitely one of the more interesting characters, and kind of the position that she's in, being torn between her father, who's in charge of this station and who was a former Imperial officer, and now he's allowing the First Order to be there. You know, it's just a kind of a challenge for her, and then being friends with a lot of folks who are really more associated with the Resistance itself. Michael Pennington, who played Moff Gergerod back from the original trilogy. Tom Kane, who plays Yoda played Yoda in the Clone Wars, along with a number of other characters. Cat Tabor, a lot of us know, who played Padme in the Clone Wars. Dee Bradley Baker, most famously played Rex, but also voiced a number of other characters from the Clone Wars. Temuera Morrison, who played Jango Fett. Ashley Eckstein, who, of course, we all know played Ahsoka. And Daniel Logan, who not only played young Boba Fett in the prequel trilogy, but also came in to voice Boba Fett in the Clone Wars.
That's a great list. I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of these people there. It's good to see some new faces from the new stuff we're getting, and as well as the old head for a long time. So,
yeah.
Now, we don't know if these are autograph or panel people, correct?
I don't know. They say that they're invited guests. I mean, a lot of times these folks do end up getting at least one autograph slot. And a lot of times they also end up being on panels. So, you know, there's enough Clone Wars folks, you may see them come on as panels, where there's enough folks from Resistance, we may see those folks come on in a panel. I certainly expect that, since Resistance is a thing that's presently running. So, you know, you never know. But yeah, I would definitely expect to see these folks in the autograph hall.
Awesome. Let's see. Disney Plus, we have a release date now, right? We're going to get this on April 11th. It's coincide. Well,
it's not a release date. They're calling it a first look, and we don't know what the heck that means. They've actually not said what that really means.
That's right. You know, I've read the article before, and I did see that was first look. I mean, is it going to be a panel? I think a celebration is all we're going to get.
Possibly, although the 11th is not a panel day, but oh.
Yeah, the 11th is the first day of celebration. I don't know if they're going to release something associated with celebration, or it just happens to be the same day that they're going to put some information out on it. We just don't know. We just don't know yet. So hopefully in the next month or so, they'll tell us a little bit more what we can expect from this first look thing. And if it actually will be something that's staged at Celebration, or if it's going to be done independently.
And this is yet one more thing that we just need a little more detail on.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we're all going to get it.
That's a given. For a price.
Exactly, I keep sending them a check. They just keep putting return to send. I don't understand.
So one more thing we'll have to wait and see about. Now, Tim, I didn't see where you had this article from here, but you had a little bit of news here from, or not news, but a little bit of a teaser, I guess, for The Mandalorian. The director, she's director, right, for the episodes?
He Taika Waititi.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The person who was the director of Black Panther. And so he's going to be directing at one of the episodes of this this first season of The Mandalorian. And his statement in an interview, and the reason I didn't link it was pretty much this was like his only statement on it, was that The Mandalorian is going to feel a lot like the original trilogy, which I think is cool. I mean,
makes me happy.
We're kind of fans of a certain generation here. And, you know, I think we can appreciate that the original trilogy is getting a little bit of love. But again, I mean, there's when you span across Star Wars, there's something for everybody. And, you know, obviously there's been a lot of attention being given to sequel trilogy stuff lately. And so, you know, this is kind of a nice nod to the original trilogy. It's apparently set even closer to Return of the Jedi than we originally thought. And so, yeah, I'm excited about that.
Well, you know, the one thing this does kind of bring up in my mind, it's not just original trilogy versus prequel trilogy anymore. You know, there's this, like you said, Tim, there's something for everybody. And we're how many different groupings of fans and generations of fans now that I think it's just more inclusive, actually.
Yeah.
Because we're not just, you know, us and them.
Totally.
Which I really, really like. Well, let's see, Tim, we have some books and comics here. See, Thrawn Treason is available now for pre-order, Tim? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I actually just pre-ordered mine a couple days ago in hard copy. I know it's also available for pre-order for Kindle and such.
And you didn't tell me when you ordered it? Thanks, Tim. I thought we were friends.
It's there, Lou. It's there. Okay. Just go to Amazon or whoever your favorite bookseller is, and you can get it.
For me, Audible, so I will go and do that as we record here. let's see. Galaxy's Edge books and comics have been announced now. We have Black Spire from Joella Dawson coming out in September.
Yeah, which I think is the most notable one. She's certainly the most prominent author who's in this group. And she's written Star Wars stuff before, and we're all familiar with her and her work, having done the Phasma novel. And she just Delilah Dawson just has, another one of these people with a great social media presence and a terrific personality. And she's been going to cons for a while. And she's just always excited to get into this stuff. So Black Spire, that's going to be coming up. That's in September and is going to involve General Leia. And I don't think there's too much more that we know about it.
Okay.
At this point.
We also have a young adult novel from Zoraida Cordova, A Crash of Fate. Mm-hmm. You know any details about that?
I don't.
No. Okay. Let's see. We have in August, we're getting Myths and Fables from George Mann.
He has a couple of stories in it. And yeah, they're kind of like a middle grade, so like young adult kind of book. And they had an excerpt in that was released for this book. And it just kind of looks like a fun couple of stories. So I think it's certainly worth picking up.
Okay, cool. We have a Galaxy's Edge cookbook coming out. This is from Chelsea Monroe Castle. She also did Fire and Ice cookbook,
which would be the Game of Thrones inspired cookbook.
Yep. So I didn't read that one. I'm not sure I want to delve into stuff that is Galaxy's Edge, inspired. I don't know.
But this would be the third or fourth Star Wars cookbook.
I think it's the fourth one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I don't have any of the other ones.
I don't
know. Anybody here make anything from them?
Mark? I have them all, but I never
cooked from
them? Anything. No. Not even the Boba Fettuccine.
I'm sure there's a lot of really good names like that in there, I bet.
Yeah. I think Wookiee Cookies was the first cookbook, wasn't it?
Yep.
I think Wookiee it was,
cookies
yeah.
And the other things.
Oh, boy. Let's see. And there is a Galaxy's Edge comic from IDW as well.
And for those who might not, IDW tends, they've kind of the license is split between Marvel and IDW, or maybe Marvel subcontracts to IDW or something. IDW tends to do the younger skewing comic books. And so we know that Marvel is going to have a Galaxy's Edge focused miniseries of their own. And so they're also going to have something on the younger reader side being done by IDW.
Okay. Still having audio problems with Tim a little bit here, but
I'm sure
he'll be back on here. Yeah, Skype gods are not smiling on us tonight, I guess.
Yeah, I guess not.
Let's see. In other news here, we have Tim's got a link to a story here that Bob Iger is happy with EA. He must be the only one.
I think he must be. I don't know what the hell he's thinking. He made this statement in his in the quarterly earnings call, and this is like an out of the blue statement. I don't think he would have made this statement had there not just been announcements a couple weeks ago that games were being scratched, and so it really seems to be a response of his to that, and he's just reinforcing, hey, we're still really happy with the relationship that we have with EA, et cetera, et cetera. Sure, that's fine, dude, but the rest of us actually want to play games, and EA just keeps deleting projects before they release, so you're not making money.
Yeah, his statement was a good relationship exists. Yeah. Okay, that doesn't do anything for the fans who want to have good games.
No,
I just don't see how hard it is for a company as big as EA to do something that we all want to see. I don't get it. On other gaming news, though, our friends over at FFG are producing a new board game called Outer Rim. This looks awesome.
I'm very excited about this.
I haven't dived into this game too much yet, but everything else they've done has been just a hit out of the park as far as Star Wars games, whether it be board gaming, role playing, or miniatures.
Their stuff is just fantastic, and it's really detail oriented. Their stuff is just spot on. Yeah. Finding, you know, all the details that we may have missed over the years or forgotten about over the years, because some of us have been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, Fantasy Flight Games is awesome stuff. The only thing I gotta say though, Lou, is I'm really disappointed that you didn't read my lead in to this.
Your lead in,
yeah. Star Wars Outer Rim, not just a vacation destination or a popular podcast in the Top Game.
I'm sorry, Jim. I am so sorry. Yes.
You know, all that effort, Lou, the things I do for our fans, and you just skip right over it.
Screwed it up. I just blew over that. I'm so sorry. God, I feel bad now. Both of this game is, give me setting the seedier side of Star Wars, right? So this is the Outer Rim. It's where all the, you know, criminals, mercenaries, bounty hunters are living. It does include characters like Han and Lando, Chewie, Boba Fett, even Jyn Erso, which is pretty cool. So it spans a bunch of different eras.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like that they're doing that it's not just centered on particularly one era. I mean, Han, Lando, Chewie, Boba Fett certainly gives us an inclination that it's original trilogy. And, mm-hmm. and you know, even with Jyn, since Rogue One took place just before.
Very similar time frame, yeah.
You know, I mean, but they certainly, I mean, with a tabletop game, you can have a lot more latitude. And they could bring in characters from the prequel trilogy or the sequel trilogy just as easily. So.
Exactly. So this is set for release in the second quarter of this year. I am really hoping FFG has a sample of this at Celebration, maybe.
Yeah, I want to play test this at Celebration. I'm really excited about it.
That would be cool.
Maybe they'll even be selling some there. Who knows?
Never know. Never know. See.
Are you guys getting the Armada expansion, the Super Star Destroyer expansion?
No, I haven't done too much of the Armada stuff.
I mean, just for the toy.
Yeah. Because the models are just insanely incredible that come out of X-Wing and Armada.
Yeah, I think the X-Wing stuff's a little bit better than the Armada stuff, but yeah, it's really cool. Let's see here. Tim, another thing you have here from our friend Mr. Iger. He's also not planning on marketing very much stuff for Galaxy's Edge, right? I mean, do you think he has to advertise for this part?
It's Star Wars. I mean, you don't need to market Star Wars.
Exactly. Look, I read this. I'm like, yeah. Can I see? So he told the earnings call that we're not going to market for the park. You don't have to. When this thing goes live, it's going to be lines out the door.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Folks who are fans already know about it. So I think that the parks for the first few months are going to fill up just simply based on that.
Right.
And then they're certainly going to get media exposure. You know, everything from, you know, Billy Bob's blog to the major media outlets are going to cover it anyway. And so that's free marketing. They don't have to spend a dollar for that except to, you know, them some like, you know, basically B-roll and images and that kind of stuff. And that really doesn't cost them very much. And then, you know, people who go there are going to talk about it. So, you know, Vibe, they don't have to do any real hardcore marketing for the first several months of this, you know, a little social media stuff, whatever. But I think it's going to be fine.
I don't see this having a problem selling tickets to it.
Yeah.
And Tim, I'll let you take this last news story we have, because I know Lego is near and dear to your heart as well as mine. But I do see something missing from your list, though, something you wanted.
Lego. Okay. So the anniversary set has finally been released. And Lou and I have been talking about what these sets were going to be. Now, remember that there's also the set along with a collectible minifig and the minifigs specifically are coming from the original trilogy. They have in this. They will drop ship. Very, very basic set. It's a small set, 125 piece, $20 is the price on it. It comes with a Han Solo minifig. And really for what it is, you're getting five minifigs. I mean, you're getting a pilot and you're getting three stormtroopers. So I think that alone is worth the $20. The build itself is like really, really basic. It's nothing that I'm heavily interested in.
Right. For $20, it's not a way to, not a bad way to start, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It really, so Anakin's Pod Racer, this is a 279 piece set, retails for $30. Comes with three minifigs, and one of those is the Luke Skywalker Rebel pilot uniform minifig. The other one is obviously a young Anakin and a Padme. The next set here is the Clone Scout Walker, which comes with kind of the mini Spider Walker. It comes with a clone Jungle Trooper. You get a B1 Battle Droid with it, and you get a Wookiee with it, and the
little gun emplacement.
Yeah. You look, get a little gun emplacement there with the Wookiee, and your bonus anniversary minifig is Darth Vader, which is pretty cool. I like the Walker. I think the Walker is pretty cool. It's small. I mean, it's 250 pieces, $30. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like the Walker. The minifigs are pretty good that it comes with. And I even like the little mini Spider Walker. I think that's pretty cool. So for a small set, I like the stuff that you're getting with it. Let's see, for $40, you're getting a 309-piece snowspeeder, because clearly we needed another snowspeeder released by Lego. This is probably like the seventh or eighth snowspeeder that they've put out. They're almost as prolific as X-Wings. And don't get me wrong, I love the snowspeeders. I have one. I have one. It's not the Ultimate Collector Series snowspeeder. It's, I think, the one they released before that. This is a nice set, though. It comes with a Luke and a Dak.
The set's really cool, though. It does have the grappling hook on the back of the snowspeeder. And the special minifig is Lando. So that's pretty cool, too, as well on this one.
Yes.
The way they're kind of edging these up. The first couple were inexpensive. Now we're getting $40 range. The last one we're going to have here in this list is going to be a Slave One. And this one is going to be the high end of the price point. We're at $120 for this one. 7 pieces. And the special minifig of this one is going to be Princess Leia, which is really cool. But again, it's another Slave One. We've had several of these over the years in Lego. Not sure exactly how many of these there have been, but quite a few. So that is your rundown for the 20 for the Lego stuff. I think that's pretty cool stuff. 20th anniversary. I do like these minifigs for the collectible one. They all come in their own little stand. The stands do have a piece that links them together, so you can link all five or four of these together and display them. I just wish you didn't have to buy the whole kit to get those collectible minifigs.
I love that we're getting a Zuckus in a 4 LOM.
Yes.
I don't know when they were released prior, but those look pretty cool.
They do look pretty nice, yeah. You got a Han and Carbonite there too, don't we? Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yep. Okay. Well, that does bring us to the end of our news. Now we can jump back into something that Tim and I need to learn more about, and that's costuming.
Till April? So,
what's that?
Till April?
Yes. we are going to be having a very busy month of March. I don't think either one of us have any delusions that we're going to be 100% ready to go finalizing this thing, but we are going to try our best to get this thing wearable for Celebration.
Good plan.
So tell us about, I mean, as far as costuming goes, I mean, and I went to one armoring party with the Connecticut Garrison up here. And the people are extremely helpful. Everybody wants to know what you're doing, and they always have tips and tricks. And one of the guys that I've kind of become friends with, he's like, I told him I ordered the kit, and he's like, oh, when's it coming? He goes, we got to set up a time. We'll get you over to my house. Well, I got a guy who's really good at weathering, and so he's all anxious to get going. So I'm excited to have that help. Do you find that most garrisons are like that, where everybody's supportive and helpful and really want everybody to kind of enjoy the build as they go along?
Very much so. They're as excited as you are, okay. Where you come, you come to the group, with an open mind, I guess, but also some anxiety in a way. But I think, we're really helpful in taking that away. Now we do enable, first time builders, I guess, to take a hand, I guess, or help in a way that you will be able to help others in the future.
Okay.
there are things that even if you think something went horribly wrong, it can be fixed. So
cool.
You know, if you trim your armor, and you know, you might cut off too much, we can always put it back on. So
okay, well, that's good to know, because I'm sure we're gonna make a problem here that oops, I was supposed to cut that piece off. Okay,
yeah.
Well, before we get to the actual building and so forth, tell us about the process of becoming approved by the 501st, and what are the steps that a new recruit's going to go through?
So I guess, I mean, in the very beginning, obviously you have to know what you want to accomplish, what you want to be. Some costumes are, you know, much less than others price wise. So you have to look at your budget, see what's helpful. If you want to be a face character, meaning you don't wear a mask, you know, or helmet. You have to decide, you know, do I want to, I guess, expose myself to the public by showing my face or not? Okay. Like I mentioned before, things can get emotional, and then it's up to you. Okay, can I do this? Can I do this without, you know, crying into somebody's face or? But it's tricky. It's tricky to really sometimes to overcome something like that. Or to handle it, I guess. So once you identify what you really want to become, you do contact your local garrison or outpost, and help them to identify where you can source these things. You know,
okay.
Maybe the fabric, or maybe, as I said before, I can only speak really for the Stormtrooper ones, but there are, you know, certain manufacturers out there in the U.S. overseas. That can provide that for you. You can ask your local garrison the experiences with, you know, ABC, with those vendors, and then they can you know, you can contact them. So once you have the kit in your hand, then you can, again, I would stay in touch with we have like a liaison in each garrison that can help you with getting, you know, your foot in the door, so to say.
Okay.
And they also approve your costume in the end, so they can help you through the entire process. Yeah, you mentioned the building or armor party. Those happen frequently. So I would again contact or stay in touch with your liaison, and they will. You know, you can register on the garrison board and then you can sort of keep track on that as well. And once it happens, everybody's happy to pitch in.
Okay.
You know, give tips how they did their own build, or if it's something completely new, then everybody's going to hover over that build and try to figure it out. And it's like a puzzle in a way.
Okay.
There are certain guidelines, obviously, how to build your costume and how to get it approved. And those can all be found on the 501st.com website. Again, there are almost 400 costumes, so being for everybody's,
yeah,
tastes or liking, you know, female, male alike, anybody can, you know, we have female stormtroopers, we have, you know, male stormtroopers, we have male Phasmas, we have, you know, okay. There's really no restriction, I guess. I mean, if you are Akira from Rogue One, you might not, you know, I guess he can be a dude, but I haven't seen one yet. So,
right.
So, you know, but it really, it's open to anybody who's over 18, and anybody can join, and there are no restrictions on size, okay, or, you know, anything really. Everybody's treated the same.
Okay, cool. So let me ask you this now. Say Tim and I are progressing along and we get our builds going pretty well here. Do we get approved by our local garrison? Is it somebody else? Is there a committee somewhere that looks at photographs and approves them? I mean, how's that process work?
Yeah, you get approved by your local garrison.
Okay.
By that liaison, and, you know, he has to familiarize himself as well, potentially with, you know, what do you have in mind? Because sure, that's probably the first one, in your local, units. And so, but in the end, it's all described pretty thoroughly in what we call the CRL. It's the Costume Reference Library.
Yep.
Yep.
So, and there, you know, depending on the costume, there's certain levels that you can achieve. That's your personal preference, I guess. You know,
okay.
The more detailed, if you think that's the better, then you go for it. Okay.
Now, tell me about those levels. I mean, because I read through the new CRL for the Mud Trooper, and they give you, I guess there's two levels of that right now. There's the basic, and then there's level one, I guess. But does that do anything for you above and beyond just being more proud of the costume you built? Is that really what that's all about?
That's it. It's your personal preference. Okay. Nobody is, let's put this in, nobody should be able to say something about, I have a better one costume than you do. So that's not how we operate, I guess. It's really your own, whatever you like, whatever I guess you can afford, because sometimes you have to source something that might not be readily available. You have to buy it on a secondary market or something. It's really, and again, how much time do you have? Do you have a time limit?
Say,
April or,
something little coming up in April, I guess. So, one thing you mentioned to me the other night on, when we were chatting back and forth on Messenger, I had not realized that you get to pick your own, identification number.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which now, of course, one more thing I had to think about, and I'm like, oh, I don't know what I want to have for a number now.
So it's a 5-digit number, and, you can go to the website, you can type in, the number, in the search field. And if it doesn't come up, then you can, could potentially get it, but you have to be approved first, and then you have to the approval process is or part of that is to identify who you are as a number, and then if that's still their time, then by all means you can get anything from 1,000 to or 10,000 to 999,999. I think those are taken, but because they're so unique, but
sure
anything in between. Like mine is 14057, and that's the zip code in Berlin where I grew up. So that's the story.
Cool.
That's nice. Cool. Yeah. It's nice to be able to find something. That's what I want to find something that means something to me. So it's like, okay, now I got to really think, because I'm thinking, okay, everything I have is like a 3 or 4. I can't think of a 5-digit number, but I'll have to figure something out.
Oh, boy. Like a birthday, I don't know.
Sure.
Somehow you can put that or your zip code where you live or, something.
Yep. Definitely have to give that some thought. One of the things I want to ask you about, and every time we go to a celebration or go to a convention where you see a lot of 501st people, you always see, it's obviously a big group, and they're very much a group. You know, when you walk somewhere, I think I said we were at a celebration in Anaheim, you walked into the hotel and you would have thought the lobby of the hotel was a USO operation, because it was just, it felt like a military presence when you walked in. I was like, wow, this is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All those really cool shirts you guys wear when you're not in ARC. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that process and what those are, what those represent.
Well, those, we call them racing shirts. You can get a multitude of shirts. I think I have about 8. But it's, I guess the one that you would probably should get first is one from your garrison, I guess. It has a certain design. Now, you can't just get it and, get it next week or something. There has to be like a certain, run for it, because, like maybe twice a year, or I don't know how your local garrison handles that, but twice a year they're put in an order, and it gets made overseas, and then it gets shipped to whoever ordered it, and then he or she distributes the shirts. So it has to be a certain number of shirts that need to be ordered to make it worthwhile, shipping and duties and taxes and stuff. So but those are identifiable racing shirt or shirts in a way that give it away, that who you're with, which garrison you're with, and it has your, you can choose what you want on the front. It has your number, it has your name, where you live. So those are the most, I would say the most common things you can put on there. There is a limit or a certain structure on there. You can't just put your favorite phrase or something. It has to be in a way that it looks uniform. Okay. Yeah, and so, the back usually has your garrison logo, and the left side has, the U.S. flag, and the right side has your logo and or the 501st logo. So it's all, and that's what you mentioned. It looks I guess, pretty impressive, I guess, if you the lobby of a hotel or somewhere else and you see different shirts. And some are really, you know, colorful and great colors. And so it's pretty cool. Neat to see, I guess. Yeah.
Awesome.
And plus, if you meet somebody and you forgot their name and he or she wears a shirt, you can see on their...
That's handy.
That's helpful because I am bad with names sometimes, especially when you meet a lot of people all in a matter of a couple of days. You're like, oh, yeah, I remember. Bob. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, very convenient.
Awesome. So, Tim, you've been very quiet there. Are you still contemplating what we're doing for our costume now? Are you 70-second thoughts already?
Oh, no. Definitely no second thoughts. A little bit of slight panic. just that, you know, knowing that there's a lot to do. And, you know, Lou and I are going to kind of have our own armor party. You know, we're having our stuff shipped to his house. Then I'm going to go spend a couple days over at his place and you know, bug his wife while we're working on these and you know, doing the fitting and the customization and all that stuff. And, you know, I'm expecting a lot of fun. I'm also expecting a lot of trips to the hardware store and probably some lists of, oh, okay, we have to order this, got to order that. You know, to make sure that we're getting things put together. There's a lot of unknown with it, but it's so cool that, you know, I mean, we know that even if we're not able to get people physically there, that there's folks like you and folks like the folks of the Connecticut Garrison that Lou has met that, you know, we know we can message and within a short amount of time, we're going to get some great responses back with some different ideas on, hey, you know, think about doing this, or maybe here's a good source for that. And it just seems like a great community and we're looking forward to like hanging out with that community when we go to Celebration, even though we know we won't have, you know, approved armor then, but, you know, right. We hope we'll still be accepted in as, you know,
of course,
fledgling troopers. So
you're always welcome. Anybody's welcome. Anybody's welcome to hang out. You know, we encourage people who are interested in joining, who don't have a costume yet, to come along on a troop and see, you know, be like a handler, help people get in costume or, you know, help, with taking pictures or just be part of the experience and see if it's something that they like. And then, you know, take it from there. So a lot of people start out as tag-alongs in a good way. Just to see how everything works.
Okay. And
be, you know, firsthand touch a finished costume or, you know, put a helmet on or just see how it feels. And, you know, it gives a motivational boost, I think, to those who are exposed to that kind of experience and see the reaction of the people, adults and kids alike.
Yeah. I mean, anyone who I've interacted with the 501st, with the Rebel Legion, with the Mando Mercs, asking them questions about their kits, you know, what they've done, how they've put it together, that kind of stuff. Everyone has like just been so open. And the cool thing about Celebration, at least my experience in Celebration Orlando, was that the 501st had an entire room.
Yes.
Where you guys had like sample setups of armor. You had a couple places for photo ops and you had it regularly staffed with a bunch of members. So you could walk through there and ask questions. And the conversations that I had with 501st members there were just awesome because like, this is when I just barely had that first spark of interest in doing something. And I didn't even know what I wanted to do, but I was kind of just trying to figure some things out. And I had a lot of questions and they were great. They were just really great.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. We are always trying to make this very, I guess, involve people in the 501st, even if they don't have any interest in joining, just tell them what we're doing.
Sure.
Which is, you know, just, it's a lot of diversity, I guess, what we do. You know, we do casual troops, we do charity troops, we do promotional troops. So it's a whole range of experiences, I guess, you could possibly have.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I mean, you know, just being out and about and being connected to Star Wars, I tend to pick and see where you guys are here and there all over the place. And usually it's either at a sporting event, like the hockey club around here does a Star Wars night. And we went to Fenway Park Star Wars night 2 years in a row. And that was kind of cool. And it just, I can't wait to be able to be involved in that and have, like you'd said, see the reaction of people that come to you, because I see the reaction that people are having to the costume characters just out in public. It's like, that is just really, really cool. And it's just such a good, heartwarming. I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah. And we try, you know, we try to pack as much as possible into, you know, the Fiber Room. And I don't know what Chicago's going to be like, but it's going to be probably as impressive as the previous ones, or the one, the one that you described. It's, you know, we try to make it obviously, you know, a way that people don't be overwhelmed with what they see.
Yeah.
But again, we have full staffed tables, you know, and whatever else to answer any and all questions. You know, it's all volunteering. You know, we don't get paid. You know, we do this for the love of many reasons. Star Wars, people like being in costumes, people like to do, you know, people to do charity work. So it whatever the case is, I think it's a group where everybody can find their own place, whatever it may be, and you know, be as involved as you want to be. You know, you don't have to be a command position or, you know, take any responsibility. Or you can just show up for a troop, let others, you know, organize it. It's really up to your, really what you want to do. It's your own level of involvement, you know. To be active, you have to troop at least once a year. And, you know, but other than that, it's just, you know, be in good standing, don't do anything foolish. Just because you wear a costume doesn't mean, you know, you're say better or,
you
have certain privileges or rights, or you can be, you know, you have, again, you're better than others. That's not what we promote. But again, we encourage people to at least, you know, come by and, at celebration and see what we do. I'm sure we'll have a Fiber First panel, you know, meet the Fiber First. We really have that every year. It's always very well attended by guests. I mean, by, you know, the celebration, people. And, so it's definitely something good. And for people who are wanting to, maybe party, there is a 501st bash, which involves all the clubs, all the costuming clubs. I mean, we just focus on, you know, the bad guys in a way. but there's also, you know, our counterpart, the Rebel Legion, who does, you know, do all the good guys. So, and we partner with, the Mandalorian Mercs, who do, you know, Mandalorian armor, and, the Droid Builder Club, and, you know, they're nine, sort of, you know, bigger costuming clubs, out there, even for those who are under 18, the Galactic Academy. So it's really, again, whatever, if you like Star Wars and if you like to get your hands on, or wanting to experience something to build, there is something for everybody. Yeah. Cool. And people of multiple clubs, you know, if they want to build an R2-D2, they can. And, you know, if they have an X-Wing pilot, you're a Rebel Legion member. If you have I have a Wilbur Hood costume.
Oh, do you? That's great.
Awesome. So I'm a member of the Rebel Legion as well. So it's, okay. You know, whatever. Yeah.
Yep. Now, that just brings up another question. I mean, Tim and I are driving out to Chicago with our gear, but
yes.
How do you guys transport all your stuff when you have to fly?
Well, so yeah, I mean, I took, the first time I was, at a celebration as a member, as a 501st member, in Anaheim, I put my, whatever I could fit, of my stormtrooper, in a suitcase. I bubble wrapped it. I put pictures in it. You know, this is, not a, I don't know. I put my my blaster in it, in the suitcase.
Oh.
Again, put pictures on it, describe it. It's a weapon, it's a toy, and put like a picture on it with me in costume. And so just take all the precaution that you can if you decide to ship it like that in the series. And so it came, you know, the helmet I took with me as a carry-on, and some other smaller stuff as a carry-on or another check-in. So it all got there okay. People send in their armor in like an armor bin, you know, ahead of time. FedEx, UPS, to the hotel or to the nearest FedEx station to put that on hold. And, you know, some have cloth costumes, like an Imperial officer. Mm-hmm. You can just put that in your backpack, literally.
That seems pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
So it really depends what you want to ship. If you can drive, that's perfect. Again, if you can fly, you sort of have to think twice. Okay, how much do I want to spend, or how much do I want to risk?
Sure.
Shipping this to.
I hadn't even thought about the whole issue of transporting a toy blaster.
Yeah.
Or a costume blaster. I didn't even think about that. That's a whole different ball game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially in this environment.
That's true. But again, it all worked out. I didn't really hear of anybody losing something or it, you know, it being broken or something, or being lost, but you know, it could always happen.
Mm.
There's no guarantee, but, it's like personally, you know, it's 8 hours away from where I live. So I could drive. I drove to Orlando 2 years ago, which, you know, it's good. You just put it in the car and you drive. So
sure.
I have to see. Parking is so expensive. So you have to kind of really, when it comes to cost, you have to kind of really maybe create a spreadsheet and see, okay, how much do I pay?
Is it worth flying? Or is it worth, you know, pay as much parking and driving out with fuel and everything else, right?
Right.
Well, Marcus, thank you very much for joining us. I am even more excited now than I was before we started talking.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh yeah.
Tim and I are both waiting for the email to come to say, here's your tracking number for your armor kit coming your way, which hopefully will be sent out this week. So.
Oh really? That's amazing.
Yeah. That's what we're hoping. So we'll see what happens. And,
I send Lou texts daily saying, is it there yet?
I keep wanting to respond back to him. It's like, have you paid the balance yet? No, it's not here yet. we are excited. It's going to be a fun March, and hopefully we'll have at least, you know, part of our costume ready for celebration.
Yeah.
Or all of it.
Hopefully. Yeah, we'll see. You know, and speaking of that, one last question. Once you have everything kind of approved or built and ready, how long does the approval process take normally? I mean, is it a couple of weeks? Is it, you know, months? Is it, what's that process take like?
Could be 5 minutes.
Really?
I guess it depends on if it's good.
If it's good, yeah.
Because if you have your liaison on hand and he takes the pictures or she takes the pictures, you can get approved on the spot. And then, you know, you still have to kind of do the organizational stuff, you know, get your number and, you know, register. And, but again, this doesn't take at all. I mean, you know, if you want something that needs to be maybe, you know, approved on a higher level, then that's something that the detachment does.
Okay.
They approve you, they approve your more, you know, more detailed costume or however you want to call it. But the actual garrison level approval happens inside the garrison.
Okay. And
that
cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Timmy saying there's hope.
That's right. There is hope.
if we do our work right, we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Well, see, before we let you go, Marcus, we are going to put you through our interrogation. Oh, yeah. You thought you were going to get away without doing this. We do this with all of our guests on here.
Thank you for conveniently not sending me those questions prior.
Yeah, we never do. Yeah.
No.
You know, the only thing we don't have the interrogation droid with the truth serum. So the only thing we don't have handy tonight. But so let's go through these one by one here. So what was your first introduction to Star Wars?
That was a friend of mine who played with the Stormtrooper and some other figures from the first wave. I would say in the early, like in 1980, maybe, before Empire came out.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't watched, the first movie I watched was actually Jedi. I'm old enough to have watched the other ones, but I just never really crossed my, or came on my radar. So I watched them in like 6-5-4 order, which was completely okay. Silly, but like as soon as Jedi came out, the other ones were re-released in German theaters. So
sure.
I just watched whatever, I was able to watch first and yeah.
Okay. Okay. Timmy's already going out of order here. He's answering questions I haven't even asked yet. So. there are repercussions going to happen here, but okay. So a two-part question here. Your favorite Star Wars movie and the best Star Wars movie. And there is a difference between those. I mean, you may like one more than something else, but what's your favorite and what's the best?
Jedi is my favorite because it was also my first one. It always will have a special connection, to me. The best one, yeah, I don't know. I mean, probably it's, if I had to think about it, it's Empire, but it's really followed closely by Jedi personally. Okay. Again, it had such an impact, on me that, it's, you know, I can overlook any, maybe, you know, issues that other people might have with Jedi, with, you know, the cuddly bears and, okay. Ewoks. But those, it made such an impact on my tenure. It's way up there, but again, Empire is probably the best movie.
Okay.
When it comes to, storyline and character development and, twists and turns.
Okay. Do you have a favorite Star Wars book?
As a novel,
yeah,
Kenobi.
Oh, okay, good choice. Yeah. Good choice.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite character?
Jodocast.
Nice.
He is the wannabe Boba Fett. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
He always has a very limited exposure to the universe, and only in Legends format now. But
sure. Yeah, my only exposure with him is actually, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, we know the answer to the next one. Are you Jedi, Sith, Rebel, or Imperial? We know that, obviously, because, you know, we're talking to you here about costuming in 501st. What is your most treasured Star Wars item?
Okay. That sounds a bit maybe self-serving, but... there's a Stormtrooper out there that has my TK number, and I have that.
Nice.
I have that figure.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that was.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Let's see. We already know the answer to your first Star Wars movie. Thanks for jumping ahead. Yep. Mm-hmm. first one you saw in a theater, was that also Jedi? Was that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your favorite Star Wars quote?
Oh, okay. That is Obi-Wan to, I guess, Darth Vader already then. What was it? I loved you, Anakin. You were my brother.
Yeah.
So it had such, I mean, it's such a tragic moment. And
right.
It had really, really big, you know, obviously a very big meaning. And that's my favorite quote.
Cool. When it comes to the movies, are you a spoiler hound? Do you go out looking for stuff, or do you want to know as little as you possibly can?
Nothing.
Awesome. That's what I like to hear. I'm the same way. I want to go in and be totally surprised. Let's see. Your most memorable Star Wars experience?
Yeah, that was probably still the... Hold on. I wanted to go back to costuming, but that wasn't it. It was okay. Here you go. So 1999. Okay, Phantom Menace was released. At that time, I lived in Germany. Back then, movies were not released on the same day. Germany, I think, might have been until September.
Oh.
So I could not wait that long, you know, for because of spoilers and just because I could not wait that long.
Yeah.
So I, and that's the year also the first celebration happened. So in Denver, so I had to make a choice, like, you know, fly to Denver or fly to, you know, somewhere in the US to watch the movie. Because again, 4 months was just too long to wait. The internet was already very prevalent, and I couldn't just stay away for 4 months. So I flew to New York from Berlin, and it was maybe a week or two after the release, just because of fear I wouldn't get a ticket, like a movie ticket. So I flew there like on a Friday after work, and then, you know, got there the same day, due to the, you know, time difference, flying westbound. And so went to the movie, that night, and flew back.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that is great. I love that story. That's awesome.
When I went to the theater, you know, it was pretty full. I grabbed the next to me was a lady. I grabbed her hand, and because I was so excited, and I didn't know her, and I said, "I'm sorry. I had a long day, and I'm just, you know, I'm excited. I'm sorry." So she just took it, you know, with some humor, and so. Yeah, so the whole build-up, I guess, to, you know, the ticket and flight ticket, plane ticket, and getting there to the theater on time, and that was probably my best experience.
That is very cool. I like it. See, where were you when you purchased Lucasfilm, and what was your reaction?
I was at work. I think it was Halloween, wasn't it? 2012.
It was right around there. Yeah. Same day or not, but yeah.
That's, I don't know if I got a text or if I saw it pop up somewhere, but, I didn't see anything wrong with it. You know, there was already a heavy Star Wars presence in the parks with, Star Tours and
sure.
Merchandise and possibly, I don't remember, like, you know, those stage shows with, you know, Training Jedi and
right.
So to me, it wasn't a big surprise. I was also not, you know, afraid that, you know, it might get, not treated right or anything like that. So I was pretty happy. I think it was in good hands. That's what I thought in the beginning and still do. So
very good. And then one last question for you. If you could do anything in the Star Wars universe, what would be your dream job?
I always loved Tatooine, in video games or in the movies. So something there, like opening like a corral for Dubex or something like in Mos Eisley or something sand related.
The Tatooine Dude Ranch. There you go.
That's cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Marcus, thanks for being a good sport. I'm glad you got you get her interrogation out of the way here with you. So that was a lot of fun.
It was. Thank you.
You have any questions for us before we close out the show?
No, I mean, I really hope that you guys get this done. I think you have enough time because, you know, if you get some help, I think you can knock this out fairly quickly, and if you get all the parts together and all these things, I mean, there are, I guess, where the Stormtrooper was built over a weekend. You know,
okay.
I mean, a lot of people chimed in, and
sure,
plus, you know, you might want to contact somebody that is experienced in sizing and cutting and gluing and all these things, because that can take some time if you don't really know how this all works. And, yep. And they might have already, you know, all the supplies there that you need, you know.
That's true. Yeah.
Clamps to magnets to, again, glue and, you know, the right tools to cut and to trim and, yeah.
Yeah. And cool. I don't think we're expecting to be necessarily approval ready for celebration, but I think if we're the way there and it looks pretty good, we'll be happy with it for at least your celebration. So,
okay. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Yep. You know, I think still sourcing some of the parts we're still looking for. We're getting pretty close. We got pretty much a lot of everything. I think there's a couple of things I have left to purchase, I think, but we'll get there. We'll be at celebration in some form or another with Mud Trooper-esque armor.
Very good. I can't wait. Are you guys having a table or any other presents?
Unfortunately, we don't. No. But we will definitely be around. We'll be talking, I think, on our social media platforms and on Discord about where we are and meetups and that kind of stuff for podcast listeners and other folks who want to get together with us. So we'll definitely be there.
That's good.
Definitely. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. If you want to send us some feedback, you can do so by getting an email to us at echobase@randomchatter.com. You can also find us online. We're on Twitter at Force Chatter. We're also on there as Random Chatter. I am on there as Luke Skywalker, that's Skywalker without the E. Tim, where are you on Twitter?
At Qui-Gon Tim, that's Tim with two M's.
And Marcus, would you like to share your Twitter handle with us?
Yes, that's TK14057.
Awesome. Of course, you can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com.
Certainly appreciate you spreading the word and supporting us. Tell your friends, family members, coworkers, complete strangers, anyone who likes Star Wars about us, send them our direction. Leave some reviews, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, wherever it is that you get your podcast from. Please be sure to type in some nice, friendly things about us and click on all the stars. You can come hang out with us in Discord, randomchatter.com/Discord. That'll get you access to our main lobby and our show channels. And if you're interested in the full Discord experience, just $1 a month through Patreon will unlock all those other channels for you. randomchatter.com/Patreon. And the higher levels, $5 a month, $10 a month, will get you access to some premium content that we do.
Awesome. The music you hear in the podcast is the Imperial March by Cell Dweller. And until next time, we're going to close the blast doors. We'll come back at you guys in about a week. It's a trap.